Chapter 18. Franco Doyle walked slowly down the uneven path that sloped towards the tarmac area below. This path hadn't been laid down so much as worn into the ground, as thousands of pairs of feet chose the same route over decades. It was slippery after the earlier rain, and the winter night was bringing in a chill of frost. That, and the bulky rucksack on his back, was making Franco walk with great care. More than anything, he didn't want to stumble and go on his arse. Not in front of this audience. He'd never hear the end of it. They'd been instructed to meet at 8 p.m. prompt in the Furry Glen, an area within the bigger Phoenix Park. The main park was neatly trimmed and scrupulously maintained. The Furry Glen was the little corner where they let nature run wild. The men he was meeting did not like to be kept waiting. It was now 20 past, and he could sense them shooting dirty looks of irritation at him from down by the bench where they were standing. Peter Dillon and Paul Roberts. Dillon was the taller and more muscled of the two. Looked like a heavyweight boxer gone to seed. Franco knew him vaguely. He worked security at a few places, or at least he used to, until his recent promotion in the ranks of the organization he'd affiliated himself with. Paul Roberts was considerably shorter. Franco had only met him the once, and they'd not exactly hit it off. Roberts was the power in the situation, whereas Dillon was only involved as a go-between and a bit of glorified muscle. One of the few things the paramilitaries thought dubs were good for was talking to other dubs. As always with the IRA, it was the bloke with the northern accent who held most sway, and that was Roberts. Dillon had approached Franco and issued the ultimatum. The RA wanted to meet him and Tommy Carter for a discussion about unpaid dues and unacquired respect for how things were done. Franco had duly passed the message on. In the summer, this place would be lousy with school trips and tourists snapping pictures. But as the winter frost started to bite, under the atmospheric lighting, it had a crisp, moody beauty to it. Not that Franco could fully appreciate it. He was too busy watching his feet. He glanced up to see Robert's eyes boring into him from above his cigarette. The light above the bench was on, despite this area of the park having been closed since dusk. Getting lights turned on, that was the kind of pull the Balaclava boys still had in this town. Roberts sent a cloud of cigarette smoke up into the night to join the gathering fog. Franco finally reached level ground and covered the remaining distance at a deliberately casual pace. He briefly considered whistling.
"Peter? Paul?" he said with a smirk.
"You're late."
Robert's aggressive northern whine would have probably sounded threatening in any circumstances, but now it was clearly meant to.
"And where the fuck is your boss?"
Franco shrugged.
"He's parking the car."
Dillon spoke next.
"You'd want to mind your manners, Franco."
"Oh, do I?"
He casually took the rucksack from his back and laid it on the ground.
"Eh, you fucking should, you fat prick. Now where the fuck is Carter?"
said Roberts. Franco looked at Roberts for a long second, and then turned to Dillon.
"Peter, tell your northern friend here that I don't like to be spoken to in that manner."
"I'll fucking speak to ye however the fuck I want, and if you don't like it, ye can take it up with my bosses."
Franco shrugged.
"Who are your bosses these days? I thought with that Good Friday agreement thing yous all signed last year, you were out of the game."
"The Irish Republican Army is, as ever, here to look after its interests and those of the Irish people."
"Yeah,"
said Franco.
"In that order."
Roberts tossed his cigarette towards the pond and stepped forward.
"I came here to talk to the man in charge, not his fat monkey."
Tommy Carter doesn't just come running when summoned. Out of respect, he sent me to hear what you have to say.
Respect my arse.
Franco yawned, and then looked over at Dylan.
I can remember when you boys were supposed to be fighting the Brits. Whatever happened with that?
Roberts lunged at him, but Dylan thrust out a large arm and pulled him back.
All right, enough of this. Franco, stop playing the maggot.
Franco blew into his hands.
I'm here, I'm cold, and I've better things to be doing. Can we move this along?
Roberts pushed Dylan's arm away and straightened his jacket.
Fine, he said. Tell your boy King that his actions have been noted. He has been asked twice to pay his dues, and twice he has refused.
Franco nodded. Roberts stepped forward and lowered his voice, despite there supposedly being nobody around bar the three of them to hear.
Furthermore, it is our belief that the weapons you are using have been acquired from us without our permission.
Franco smiled.
Would these be the same weapons that you acquired from the Irish Army barracks down in Dakota a couple of years ago, without their consent?
Nobody steals from us.
Franco laughed.
Well, that's clearly not the case now, is it?
Are you willing to make reparations or not?
Franco laughed.
Reparations? That's a good word for it. Reparations.
He said it slowly, as if savouring the taste. Dylan squared his body towards him.
Franco, you'd want to start taking this seriously. Don't go thinking our friendship is going to protect you here.
Franco didn't take his eyes from Roberts as he spoke.
Friendship? Are you fucking kidding me? You're a joke to us, Dylan. You and all your bullshit wannabe brethren. What kind of a sad sack from Dublin goes off to join the IRA to get bastard in by some northern pricks as they fight a dead man's war over and over again?
Dylan shot out a meaty paw and pushed Franco's shoulder.
Fuck you, Franco!
Franco stumbled backwards slightly and looked down at his shoulder.
I really wouldn't do that again if I was you.
So,
said Roberts,
do we have your answer?
Yes, said Franco. In fact, allow me to deliver the exact message Tommy gave me for you.
You can take your reparations, your taxes, and your stolen guns, and you can whistle for it. In fact,
Franco whistled. One long, loud blast. A half a second later, a red dot appeared on Peter Dillon's chest, fractionally beating the one that appeared on Paul Roberts. To be fair, thought Franco, Dillon had a lot more chest to aim for. Dillon looked down and swallowed.
Hall!
Roberts kept smiling at Franco.
Is this little parlour trick supposed to impress me? Aye, very good. Do you think you're the only one with skilled soldiers at his disposal?
Roberts gave Franco a big grin, then stepped back and raised his voice.
Tony, time to come out and play.
Nothing happened. For several seconds, nothing continued to happen. As the silence stretched out, Roberts' grin slowly crumbled. Roberts raised his voice slightly louder.
Tony!
Franco burst out laughing.
The look on your face!
He jigged a couple of steps back and looked around him in mock amazement. He raised his voice into a sing-song warble.
Tony, where are you? Your Uncle Paul needs you to come out and play.
Dylan went to say something, but Roberts silenced him with a glare. This time, though, he did look down at the red dot still shining directly onto his chest. Franco was still grinning.
So was Tony one of the three boys you'd hidden in the woods around us here? Or was he one of the two lads down the road in the van?
Don't ye try and fuck with us.
Franco laughed again.
Troy, I think you will find we already have.
He stepped forward, and the smile dropped from his face.
Here's the rest of Tommy's message. This is our town now. You try and interfere in our business again, and next time there'll be a body count. The only reason you aren't the star attraction in one of your silly balaclava and bullets funerals right now is that we chose for that not to be the case. Remember that. Consider this your one and only warning.
He kicked the rucksack at his feet.
This is for you. It's the clothes belonging to your band of five wannabes. I'd hurry if I was you. It's getting nippy, and I'd imagine they're feeling the cold right about now, tied to those trees in nothing but their panties. Tell your bosses Tommy Carter says, fuck you.
Franco turned and began walking back up the slope he'd come down.
This isn't over, said Roberts.
For your sake, you'd better hope it is.